This resource is a production of Kingdom Advisors. For more information, visit kingdomadvisors.com.
And good afternoon, and thank you for joining us today. Our host is Kingdom Advisors Founding Director Ron Blue, and our featured guest today is Kevin Myers, Senior Pastor at 12 Stone Church, which happens to be Ron's home church. My name is Scott Titus, and I serve as the Vice President of Marketing for Kingdom Advisors. This is our national teleconference call for August, and we're thrilled that you're with us today. It's my delight and privilege to welcome you, and it's a real joy to have the opportunity to walk together with you on this journey of being a Kingdom Advisor. We're looking forward to sharing with you as we continue to flesh out our monthly theme for August, God Owns It All. Our goal with this theme was really twofold. First, we hope to strengthen your understanding of the core tenets of biblical financial stewardship. What does biblical financial stewardship look like? What does it look like for me, for my clients, for my practice? And secondly, we wanted to provide some tools to help equip you to share that message with those in your sphere of influence. And to that end, I'd invite you to be sure to visit your MyKA member dashboard at kingdomadvisors.com. Each month, you'll find a collection of resources centered around a chosen theme. This month, Ron did an excellent job in the study group on sharing the core message. And an exciting tool we have this month is an animated video that he and his team have put together to help share that message. If you've attended our annual conference, you'll be familiar with our sketch effect artist, William Warren, an incredibly talented and gifted artist. Well, they've created a short animated video in which they were able to capture Ron's message and tell the story of the power of biblical financial stewardship. It's a neat tool, and we're making that available for you to stream, download, or even embed on your own website as a tool to help you in your own work with your clients and those you have the opportunity to influence. As part of our tools we're offering this month, we're pleased to announce the launch of God Owns It All curriculum by Ron and Michael Blue and produced by Lifeway. This is a great tool for you to take to your church, and you'll hear more about that from Pastor Kevin today. There's a lot for you this month, so be sure to visit your MyKA dashboard to access all those tools. Well, let's get into our call today. I'll turn the call over to Ron to welcome you and introduce our special guest. Ron, I know this is an exciting day to talk about the new God Owns It All curriculum and how the local church and the Kingdom Advisor can come together to get this message out.
Well, thank you, Scott. And it is, it's been out now for 2 or 3 weeks. And what we did in that God Owns It All curriculum is really boil down the core message into a 6-module approach that would be used typically by churches and small groups. So we're excited about seeing that develop. But today I want to talk, this is really a special time for me, and I'll just give you a little bit of history. When the Lord allowed us and asked, set up the Ron Blue Institute at Indiana Wesleyan University about 4.5 years ago now, I kept making these trips up to Indiana Wesleyan, and I kept hearing about this 12 Stone Church in Atlanta and Kevin Myers. And so after about 2 years of hearing about that, I said to Judy one May, about 3 years ago, I said, Judy, I said, we've got to at least go once so that I can say I've been there. And I didn't know hardly anything about the church. And so Judy and I walk in, and they could tell that we were visitors somehow. It may have been the gray hair. It may have been the fact that we were perhaps a little bit overdressed for the audience. It may have been that we looked a little bit lost. But the greeters, of which there were several, greeted us, and they said, welcome. They said, you know, the music's really loud here. We said, well, we've heard loud music. So long story short, they tried to convince us to go to another site so where the music wasn't as loud, or at least go to the balcony away from it. And when we wouldn't move, they brought us some earplugs. And so we went to the church, and we have not been any place else since. And I've got to tell you what a privilege it is to be under the ministry of Kevin Myers. And I think as I've listened sermon after sermon after sermon, Kevin, what I hear from you is what it says about the Lord Jesus, grace and truth. We have never heard truth like we've heard it. I don't know how many came to Christ last Sunday, but our gospel message was presented so clearly. And in the campus that I go to, we had many, many come forward to make professions.
Yeah.
So, and I know on Easter, what did we have, 1,300 that made professions of faith?
Yeah, it was somewhere over 1,000 on Easter, and we had about 470 last weekend.
Did that right.
So it's a kindness of God.
Well, yes, it is. And I sure appreciate so much the way that you allow God to use you. And I thought maybe you've got to know Kevin's has raised his family pretty much. He's got a 12-year-old. Jaden, 12?
I do. Yeah, he just turned 13 this summer. So,
just
no
turned
official
13.
Teenager.
And so he's raised three children into adulthood and one 13-year-old that is entering adulthood. But Kevin, give us a little bit of the history, if you will, of 12 Stone Church. It's so fascinating to see how God has developed that.
I'd love to, Ron, and maybe at some point in our conversation, I'll get a chance to give my side of the story of having the Ron Blue show up at your church and be totally intimidated. And there's no lie in that, and all the guys listening know exactly what I mean. So, but 12 Stone started at the end of '87. We moved down from Grand Rapids, Michigan, and started the church from scratch. One of those, what we call parachute drops, sold everything, felt like God called us to plant a church, and it was slow out of the box, practically bankrupted ourselves, which I suppose fits with today's theme. God owns it all, and it seemed to me he took it all. And so it was a rough first several years. And about the seventh year, we cracked reaching a couple of hundred people on the weekend, learned some leadership principles, learned to handle money a little wiser, and then over the next few years gained some momentum. And probably 15 years to reach about 1,500 people. And in the recent years, we're cresting into that 16 to 18,000 range on a weekend, not of course Easter, those are the bigger days, but generally on a weekend. But most importantly, the passion to reach people who are far from God or people who believe that God has quit on them. And frankly, even de-churched people along the way. That was the original vision. And of course, being in the ministry for even this last decade alone, watching our culture become more and more secular humanist and less about the kingdom. The challenge keeps rising, and the opportunities are great. So this subject of money, which becomes the God for people who are far from God, and sometimes the God for people who even claim to walk with God. This is a challenging subject, but we are blessed to know you, Ron, and to have you in the life of 12 Stone and to call you friend, and your contribution to 12 Stone in this whole financial world is just been a great blessing. So we're grateful to you. Truly are.
Well, it's I appreciate the privilege. So thank you. But Kevin, you know, pastors, it's been a little bit of my experience that are hesitant to talk about money, and I think for obvious reasons. But what is your if you had the best case in terms of your vision for those 12 stoners, what would it look like? What's your vision for people and money?
Well, that certainly is broad, and it is challenging at times to talk about finance for a host of reasons I'm sure we can tap into. And while I'm a great fan of you and your work and writings, I'm also a fan of John Wesley, and I've just always loved how succinct his delivery about money was. And that has a lot to do with what I would call kind of the vision for people in the area of finances. And Wesley used to say, make all you can, save all you can, and give all you can. And what I love about that is the make all you can means, and I hope this for our people, inside your life and time constraints within God's principles, you know, not at the expense of your spiritual health or marriage or family or physical health or your character, but maximize your results and return. I don't think scripture is designed to limit what you can make. And save all you can, manage it wisely by God's principles. So save all you can means you're going to have to put some material limits on yourself. You're going to have to exercise some self-restraint along the way. Frankly, Ron, as you and I have talked about in the past, we taught it in the series that you helped us with, I think you have to be stingy to be generous. If you're not a little bit stingy with yourself, you don't have anything to give to others. And so save all you can is an important piece. And then when Wesley said, give all you can, I think that's the heart of God. And so you honor God with your first fruits, tithe kind of stuff that I believe has biblical roots. But then there's offerings as God prospers you, as God prompts you, and you maximize helping people. And so when I pray for 12-stoners, I pray that they – that would be their experience. And of course, it's rooted in that core title of your material, God Owns It All.
Have you grown in this area, Kevin? I'm thinking about, we got people listening that pastors of all probably ages, new pastors and older pastors and so forth. But has there been growth in terms of your desire to talk about money or need to talk about money, or how does that fit into your kind of your thinking relative to the people sitting in the pews?
It has. In the early days, I had determined not to talk about money because I didn't want to communicate to the unbelieving world that the church was all about money. And so I would steer away from the subject. I would be soft on the conversation. I would be hesitant to bring it up, and even careful when people brought the subject up. But I think that was a little bit of my inexperience and immaturity in the early days. I didn't know how to bring the truth of God's word to bear on people's lives. I think underneath that, Ron, that I had my own issues. Meaning, as a pastor, I knew I needed them to give. And since pastoring is what I do all the time, I feel the pressure of finance for the church and the kingdom and the vision. And it was difficult to talk about stewardship without making it about them giving more. So one of the things God developed over time is, I hope it's a maturity, where I started with God and then started with them instead of with myself and the church. That cleaned things up, because God's desire, I think, is for people to do well in life. And I don't mean everybody gets a lavish lifestyle. I mean it is the nature of God to be generous and provide. That's just the heart of a father. And when I thought about my own kids, I want to pour good stewardship principles in the lives of my kids, and I realized that's what I'm doing on God's behalf with his church. That shifted things in my soul. The second is, I care more about them. I want more for them than from them. And when God landed that thought in my soul about the fourth, fifth year of the church, that Kevin, you are there not to get more from them, but to have more for them, it changed this whole conversation about biblical financial wisdom and stewardship. I got freed up a good bit in that. And then I determined that my job is not to make people give. My job is to teach people God's word and model stewardship. And a whole new freedom broke through in the next 2 or 3 years after that. And I began to teach stewardship type series annually, consistently every year, probably from the ninth year of the church to present. And frankly, stole a lot of your materials and happy to do it.
Well,
I even took credit for some of it.
Well, you know, that's what I say. Everything I have is copyright. It's a copyright, and you did.
I took the John Maxwell approach. If I said your material three times, I owned it by then. It
was, yeah.
I gave you credit the first time. The second time, I kind of muffled your name. Third time, I put it in the notes. And fourth time, it was mine. So.
You know what, just for those that are listening, Kevin taught a four-week series using some of the principles. He interviewed me for 2 or 3 hours and then taught a four-week series. Kevin, here's what impressed me when I listened to the message, and what I said is I could say the same thing. It would never have the impact of the senior pastor saying it because you know your audience. But what really impressed me is you had that stairs, this five stages of kind of financial wherewithal.
Yeah.
And as an illustration, he built it on the stage. But what you said was it took me 15 years to move up this ladder,
yeah.
And I've made a lot of mistakes. The transparency of that was terrific, I thought. In terms
and
of communication.
And if it's pastors listening, I don't think it's our job to impress people with our arrival. I think it's important to press upon people our journey inside God's principles. And if I've stumbled or where I've made mistakes, I'm okay talking about it. Now, it's probably not helpful, Ron, if I'm talking about mistakes I made last week because I took my credit card out and spent foolishly. I don't think that's the idea. But we made some mistakes along the way, and I had some learning curve. I wasn't trained well in finance. I came from a pretty financially broken and divorced family, pretty impoverished, and I didn't understand money. And nobody had brought the principles of stewardship and sound financial planning into my life, and I got zero training in my university studies. So I brought a lot of that baggage into the church and made major mistakes, and I thought, well, I'm just here to grow a church and reach people. I'm not here to run a business. Well, of course, that failed miserably, and when you begin to understand that God's word is loaded with the majority of financial wisdom you will need to run a government, run a business, run a church, run your life. Well, that, again, major breakthrough. So, but I didn't hide that from people. I just tell them I was stupid and still have a capacity for it occasionally.
Now, I know you do a lot of pastors' conferences and interact, obviously, with a lot of pastors. Is there some commonality among pastors relative to money? I know you developed your own thinking on it, but is there some common things about that we as financial advisors should know maybe about those who are in the pulpit?
What's always a consistent awareness is that there is an internal battle between wanting to help people know and practice God's biblical financial principles. And simultaneously, I have ministry, business, financial pressure. And the people listening are the same people. How do I continue to raise resources for the kingdom, because God's put a vision on this church and in my heart, but care most about their financial stewardship and how to walk that tightrope still is a challenge in my soul and is for a whole lot of pastors that I talk with. And I've concluded, Ron, that should not be resolved. That's a tension to manage before God, not something to be resolved. because it keeps me tender before the Lord, and it keeps me very aware of where He has placed me. So I often say to other pastors, God has made business people in finance the equivalent of kings in this culture. And I carry the role of priest. And it's important that I never try to become a king in my priestly role. My goal is not to figure out how to achieve the lifestyle of others in my church on either end of the spectrum. My goal is to help people learn how to honor God, glorify God, and walk with God by His principles. And if I do that well, I think God will bring the resources. So frankly, Ron, I do more to pray in the resources than I do figure out how to strategically, cleverly, connivingly try and get it out of their hands. And I find that those are similar conversations among pastors. And every pastor has a story of somebody who was awesome and handled their giving maturely and somebody who was petty or self-absorbed or manipulative. And probably every layperson has the equivalent of a pastor doing the same. So there's no denying this is a challenging subject for us all.
How do you think the pastors or yourself view the kind of the financial services world?
I'm
purposely leaving that really broad. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
We'll hear people start to click off the phone in just a moment.
Okay.
You know, I I'm not going to deal with pastors who have. I'm going to deal with the majority of pastors, and I have to speak broadly. So, okay. So I think it's this disposition. You who are in the financial services are experts, and candidly, you're experts where I am not in the area of finance. And that can be intimidating because I'm not trained in money like you are. And yet I have to manage money in the church. And so one side of it can be intimidating. Equally, the same being true, you're experts. And therefore, you can bring so much help to the kingdom. And so at that point, it's a pastor wrestling with how do I pull you in to the strength and the expertise and the wisdom that can be leveraged for the kingdom? How do I do that in a way where I'm not manipulating you, but I'm not surrendering the vision to you and you take over? So I think those are kind of the primary feelings. That one is held at distance because you know too much, and the other is how do I get you close because you know so much. And I think that exists. In fact, I'm just going to run here. In fact, good. What I'm aware of, and this is why, if you're in the financial services, you have an access into people's lives I will never get. In the area that I believe defines their spirituality like few other areas, how you handle your money reveals what you really believe. And I can't get access to that. People are not going to sit down with me and lay out their income and their financial goals. As a rule, that doesn't happen. If you have privilege, it's like a doctor. You walk into a doctor's office, and I don't know if I can say this. You walk into the doctor's office, and the doctor says, well, take off your clothes, put this weird, ugly-looking thing on, and I'll come back and do things to you nobody else is allowed to do. And there's your experience with a doctor. And you know what's funny? We all say, okay.
Yeah.
Well, a doctor is given a place in your life of access into an intimacy that should be handled professionally, but it's immediate access. Financial services individuals, well-trained, kingdom advisors, you have that kind of access into people's finances. I don't think I'm ever going to get that. And therefore, if we don't partner together and we don't figure out how the work of the church and the work of financial advisors cooperates for the kingdom, I think it's a loss for people. But there, I went too far. I probably talked too long on that one. But
no, but you're leading into what we're going to be doing tomorrow.
Yes.
And
you might kind of talk just, well, I've explained what we're doing is we're hosting a luncheon tomorrow where Kevin is going to lay out his vision for the church and the workplace ministry. And I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the things that I've learned. And we're going to challenge the advisors to get engaged with one another for ministry purposes in the church. So this is really a first for Kingdom Advisors. Well, it's the third time we've tried it, but it's the first time where we've really had the senior pastor so engaged as you are. So you might talk from your perspective what you're looking for tomorrow.
Well, we're right on the subject. As a pastor, and again, I sometimes use that imagery as a shepherd or as a father over children, though that's a little too far, but on behalf of their Heavenly Father, if I don't help people win in finances, they're never going to break through spiritually, and they're never going to break through materially. And they will not speak of their spiritual life as their primary pressure. They will speak of their finances as their primary pressure. And we have to get inside that world. But when I talk about that world, I have some limits because they feel like I'm going after their money, almost as if they have to start giving and the Bible works against their finances rather than that God is fully behind them. He's the giver. He owns it all, and he's there to help them win in their finances. And so God wants to see them move from from struggling to surviving to stable to secure to surplus. That whole thing you walk through on, which is genius, and we used it and we'll keep using it, that stair step that you talked about us putting on stage, that's Ron's, and that whole process of struggling to surviving, stable, secure, surplus. Well, God wants to help you move along that process. But I know I'm limited. And we have probably 250 to 300 people at 12 Stone who are specifically in financial services. And we've decided to go all in on this. And we're going to have a luncheon tomorrow. And I'm going to cast vision for about 20 minutes. And it's on this conversation we're having, Ron, that the kingdom of God, the local church, needs financial services gifted expert people to step in, step up, and bring that value into the life of the church. And I can't do it. That's why God gives those gifts and talents and skills and careers to other people. But I have to open the door and build the bridge. And that's what I'm going to do tomorrow. And Ron, you're going to be a great help. And some of our financial people are going to be a great help in this process. But I believe deeply in this. So, you know, we're going all in and roll the dice here. And we're committed to Kingdom Advisors being partners in this and leveraging and advancing along those lines. So, yeah, it's going to be good. I'm pretty eager for it. I think we got like 160 some of them signed up and coming, which is really quite amazing.
It really is.
A lunch. Yeah.
And I've been thinking a lot about the lunch, and my heart and dream has been that that this group would join in community with one another, because they probably don't know one another either, and
no
they
doubt.
Need to be in community. And secondly, that if we can put them through the training that we've got, they'll share a common language.
Yes.
And be able to communicate with one another and with their clients, and the whole church will benefit, because you have people, no matter what their specialty, they will be coming from a biblical worldview relative to the financial decisions that they're giving advice on.
And, absolutely.
I'm excited about it. I really am.
And along with that, Ron, I think from a pastor's perspective, I'm not sure, to be honest. I'm just going to maybe say something I shouldn't say right now. I'm not sure I was... It doesn't, does it? I can just...
No, it doesn't.
You notice I give myself caution, and then I take permission. So
I know, and
you
I
know
take
I'm
notes.
I'm going to put my foot in my mouth. I have tried in smaller ways in less risky ways to enter into these kinds of things that we're doing tomorrow? And I realized that I was experiencing some, not the majority, but some, for whom this is a way to build their business. And it felt like kind of a pyramid scheme, and they were coming in and they just wanted my okay to have access to the people and start building their business out of small groups and out of the congregation. And it twisted it a little bit. And that's a caution on the side of the world where many of you who are listening and Ron, your world, and I'm going to say something you don't know I'm going to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. The way Ron Blue came to 12 Stone Church, in which case I was intimidated when he came in. I knew who he was. I'd read enough of his material, and his wife comes up and says hello, and Ron says hello. I said, I know who you are. I just want to get that off the table. I do know who you are. And and what I didn't
and
know,
you know
Ron,
what?
But you know what I didn't know? I didn't know if someone of your caliber, your experience, and your size of influence would just sweep in. I wouldn't think so, but I don't know. Would just sweep in and say, now listen, no doubt I know more than you on the subject. I've written several books. I'm nationally known. I built several businesses. It's hard to get better than me. Let me look at what you're doing, and let me look over your finances. Let me see if you're inside all the boundaries I'd like to be a part of. Let me see if you qualify for me to give here. Let me see. I mean, I'm way overstating it to make a point. And you came in with such grace and such a servant heart, and you gave to the church without coming in and qualifying me, so to speak. I try to say that rightly, but you honored God, you gave, you celebrated the work God was doing in the lives of people, you served, you did all of that so quickly, you made it so easy to trust you. And then when you and I got time to begin to spend together, I knew you were part of God's answer to prayer for 12 Stone to release what is in the body of Christ and hasn't come together, and it's because of trust. So if I can say something, if you're pastors, we have to take risks and begin to trust beyond ourselves. The congregation needs more help than we can give. But if you're in financial services, boy, there's something to learn from Ron today. He did this with such grace and humility that it was easy to trust him. And this effort tomorrow is in great part because Ron led with a humility. And I think it's still true. God opposes the proud, gives grace to the humble, and a humble pastor and a person in financial services who's humble can come together and release impact of God owning everything and stewardship in the lives of people that is transformational. So I wanted to say that, and Ron, I didn't ask for permission. I just went ahead and told you what I think.
Well, you know, we both have wives that are really honest. And,
and unimpressed with us.
Very unimpressed. I came home one time early on in my ministry, and I said, boy, I think the Lord really used me this weekend. And she says, well, don't forget, he used Balaam's ass also.
Well, I think your wife must have discipled mine over the years, because she's never been impressed with anything here. So I think my wife figured out that the early years of 12 Stone was my gifting, and the later years when it grew was God's favor. So I'm sure now we know how it works.
Well, you know, you're putting your finger on something that I think as advisors we need to hear, and that is that I think there is a perception that the church is a good marketing vehicle. That's where the people are. And I had a pastor ask me one time, he said, how do you keep the charlatans out? Which is a really, really good question. And my answer to that is what my dream is for 12 Stone and every other church. I said, you know, the same way that bankers are taught to identify counterfeit money, not by looking at counterfeit money, but by looking at the real thing. So if we can, through the Kingdom Advisors, produce the real thing,
then the charlatan becomes obvious. And that's our heart, is to really come together with the church to serve the church. And I think the people that will be involved, the advisors that will be involved with the churches, are not people that need business.
Right.
They're looking to have ministry. And
right.
The church is the vehicle for the ministry. And that's a win-win-win. So
it is.
I'm
and
excited
at that
about
point, honestly. Yeah, at that point, if somebody happens to benefit, you know what I'm saying, Ron? If somebody comes in and they say, man, I could use your help financially, and they get business off it, all the better.
That's
fantastic. Yeah, but not a scheme, and it's about this is how I build my business off the church. So, yeah.
No. And I am going to speak to that tomorrow. I'm excited about it. But what do you have any advice for the advisor out there that would like to talk to his pastor about being of service? How might he do that? I appreciate your very kind words, but I remember when we met, and I didn't tell you my last name. I didn't realize you would recognize me.
So. You did. You said,
anyway.
That's why I said, I know who you are.
That's right. That's right. But how would you give, give advice to maybe an advisor who wants to have ministry in his church? He's legitimate. He's looking for opportunity to help the church.
Well, first of all, I think that should be the aim and the goal if they're so gifted and compelled. Now, if somebody says, I don't want to do that in the church because I do it for a living and I have different gifting, so be it. But if you desire to, I would celebrate that and say, go after it. As you go after it, praying for your pastor is a pretty helpful thing.
Mm,
so when you come before the Lord and you say, Heavenly Father, my pastor, your son or daughter, the one you called, they're at the point of the church. I'm over here in a strong place of gifting. Could you bring us together and would you knit our hearts and would you give me the words and the disposition?
Mm.
And I think that if you give it a little time to pray over a few days, weeks before you approach, you tenderize your heart, and no doubt the Spirit of God is doing something in the heart of the pastor. So I think that knowing God has to be in that is a really important piece of it. Now, surely it depends on your pastor. So I'm not going to deny that it depends on who your pastor is, and some would receive it easy and some might not. But a second thing is, I would be honoring God as a good steward myself. So give the pastor no reason to disqualify you. I've had people come, and this is a fact, come and say to me they would like to be involved in the financial side, either in a management or oversight or treasury side or a business finance or financial services. And I'll just tell you what I do. The first thing I go do is see if we know who they are by their giving.
Hmm.
And I'm stunned. I'm not going to give any percentages. I'm just stunned by the number of people who have done that whose names don't show up. I mean, in other words, I need to give to them if what they've given represents any percentage of their income. I feel compelled to go to them and say, let me help you. Because if that's a percentage of your income, you're in trouble. So if you're not honoring God and committed to the work of the kingdom at that local church, either find one you can or demonstrate that part of your stewardship is pouring into the kingdom. And then I would certainly engage a conversation that is first learning, not teaching, with the pastor. Now, if I were talking to pastors, I'd say the same thing. So if you're a pastor and you're listening, I'd say, listen, sit down with them and don't be a teacher, be a learner. If you're a financial services, sit down with a pastor and be a learner, not a teacher. Because the art of building trust is being able to speak from the other person's perspective. And until you can do that, you can't engage in partnership. Because partnership is built on trust, and trust is confident that the other person understand the position from which you are coming so that you know they have your best interest in mind. So, Ron, you're able to do that, and that made it easy to build trust. One more thing I would throw in on this, Ron. What we're doing tomorrow and what you're doing and what Kingdom Advisors is doing, use other people going forward on the same agenda to be an illustration for you and your church. So if I were listening to this call and I said, well, I would love to do that in my church, how could I do that? We'll find out from Kingdom Advisors what they're doing with 12 Stone and then use it as a basis of conversation with your pastor. Say, listen, I was on a call. They were talking about doing this. It sparked something in me. Could we go look at that together and see if maybe we can learn something and benefit our congregation and community? The power of that is when you can learn from somebody else, then the two of you become learners together. And when you're learners together, the power of partnership goes deeper. When someone tries to be a teacher and the other a learner, and it's not invited or asked for, there's always a hesitation. So I've benefited greatly by going to other places where people are doing things ahead of us and using them as the foundation for that conversation. And I think Kingdom Advisors helps provide those doors. So I don't know if it's helpful, but that's just right off the cuff stuff I would toss out.
Well, just for those listening, what we're proposing to these people tomorrow is that as follow-up, we're going to 12 Stone is going to be hosting a quarterly meeting with lunch provided, which always helps. And Kingdom Advisors is providing the content and speakers for those quarterly meetings. And then we're starting study groups immediately, led by, obviously, advisors. So we've got, and then we're going to be offering the training also to these people. So we're embryonic, and I think it's going to take a while for it to work. But I am really excited about raising up. In fact, my prayer, Kevin, is for 200 like-minded advisors to be committed to serving the church. And that's what I've been praying.
And I'll go with you on that.
For all of the right reasons.
Yep. And let me add something, Ron, just for pastors who are listening, if there are any. This effort that you just described, if a pastor's saying, yeah, but what do you do next? We're taking Ron's God Owns It All material that, thank you, Ron, thank you, Michael, thank you, Lifeway, thank you guys for putting this together. We're going to launch small groups around this material in the new year at our next launch. And we hope to have those groups led by this initiative. So all of the people who choose to knit with us in this Kingdom Advisors partnership, and we'll begin to walk through it this fall into the winter, we're going to quietly come alongside them and begin to tap on their shoulder and say, hey, if you want a foray into how to bring this into the life of the church and begin to leverage your gifting, would you lead one of the small groups? You see the power of that?
Wow.
They're already trained. So that's underneath this, Ron, just so you know, part of the intent is that this January, when we launch the small groups, they actually launch in February, but we talk about them in January, they launch in February, we intend to use the core of those small groups led by this group. So whoever rises up, whoever proves to be that kind of, and so that'll begin to happen at all of our fall launch and New Year launch small groups. We will probably have God Owns It All as small groups here forward, and they will be the only ones who can lead those groups. We will move from having anyone in the church that we train to be a small group leader and that have them lead one of these, and we will move it toward this partnership that we have with Kingdom Advisors, and those become the small group leaders. Because then we have somebody with real wisdom, real experience, and real capacity to take the conversation further, because a lot of times these conversations can go kind of dumb and it can't rise any better than the stewardship of the small group leader. So anyhow, just a side note.
Well, that is phenomenal.
You know what? I just looked at the clock, and we haven't opened it up for any questions.
Well, I'll leave that to
Rob,
you and
are you
Scott.
On or is Scott on?
I am. No, I'm here. And Pastor Kevin, thank you for what you've shared today. What an encouragement for these folks. And, you know, we have found consistently for 13 years, Kevin, that, you know, one of the areas that they're most passionate about, these Kingdom Advisors we have the privilege of serving, is how do they help and come alongside their pastor and the leadership team in this area of stewardship. And they're desperate for resources and ideas and models. And what you've just laid out here is a strategy where they can actually be a significant help. So I really appreciate it. I'll just pile on that, and then we'll ask a couple of questions. By the way, I have room for maybe one more. If you want to submit an electronic question at kingdomadvisors.com/live, we can take that. The way I would pile on is just to say we're going to add to what Kevin just shared. He taught an amazing 5-part series last year, actually earlier this year, around Ron's 5 principles of money management. And his incredible creative team came up with some hilarious videos and some wonderful media intros. And we're going to take his teaching notes and those videos and give those to you through a pre-conference workshop we're doing for advisors at the conference this year to equip you to go back to your local church. And in addition to everything he said, give you a turnkey solution to equip your pastor to teach on this subject alongside a small group launch like he described. The other thing we're doing, we'll have that ready this fall, is we're producing an advisor workshop version of God Owns It All. So you've got the God Owns It All church curriculum for small groups from Lifeway. This will be exclusively for members of Kingdom Advisors, a 45-minute workshop to be taught by an advisor with the same God Owns It All branding. It could be a precursor to a small group launch in the local church as well. So we really want to equip you with resources that you can empower and equip your pastor and his leadership team around this area of stewardship. So more to come on that, and be on the lookout for those. Let's get to a couple of questions before we wrap up today. This one, Pastor Kevin, this person says, so often churches program very well around serving those that have the needs on the needy end of the spectrum around benevolence ministries and ministries like that. How have you found ways to engage those at the other end of the spectrum, the surplus category, in ministry in this area of finances?
Well, the unfortunate real answer, Scott, is we haven't been exceptional at that, and this is part of our investment toward that. I would say we have done very well with people in the struggling, surviving, and barely stable. And we have not done well from the secure and surplus. Now, there's a couple of reasons for that. The first one is people who are in secure and surplus are already individuals who have access to people who can help them and tend to be self-motivated and make those connections. So part of it is they know what they need and they go find it. But on the backside of it, I think the church has a responsibility, and I'm not sure we've been exceptional. And I'm hoping we resolve that, at least in our local church, by this endeavor. I've become more and more aware with time that there's a hole there to be filled. And I think it takes the expertise of people in financial services to do that.
That's great. Yeah, no, I appreciate that. Good word. Next question, Ron. This is just an idea here. It says, is there a sketch effect video for the levels of financial condition, struggling, surviving, stable, surplus, and secure? And the answer is no, but I think that would be a great tool as well, because I think this model, as you pointed out, Kevin, is a good one in terms of really helping to segment the congregation around unique needs as it comes to biblical financial stewardship. Would you agree?
Yeah, and I want to tell you what, the way Kevin presented that, the authenticity of his presentation just gave all kinds of credibility to it, and that only he could do. My part in that whole thing was just to provide a professional backdrop to it, but it was powerful. So I'm saying you need to even go look at those videos of what Kevin did, and we do. We are going to help on that, but terrific series.
Great. We have time for maybe one or two more questions. *2 for a live question, or kingdomadvisors.com/live. You'd like to submit an electronic question. Pastor Kevin, this one is about creating a culture of generosity. You know, so many of our advisors want to come alongside their church and really help cast a vision to the pastor and then down to the congregation around building out a culture of generosity. What counsel might you have for them today about what that conversation can look like, and even maybe some practical thoughts you have from 12 Stone in that area?
Thanks, Scott. Great question. I think for us, that means stepping into the arena of people who are struggling and surviving. So, frankly, there's no reason to be generous to somebody who's in the surplus category. And because of that, we use the language at 12 Stone that we are committed to lost least leaders, and that just means reaching the lost and serving the least and raising up leaders. So this whole serving the least, we are called to be good Samaritans to people who are beat up on the road of life. And people in those conditions, whether you meet them in the moment or whether they're in sustained oppression or whether or not injustice or whether or not they're just impoverished, fill in the blank why, we as a church are highly, highly committed to being a force for good. So we build out vision in our church that strategically, intentionally, in 3-year visions, right down to 1-year visions, right down to things that we do locally and the like, we are highly invested as a church in giving ourselves away, giving ourselves away, giving ourselves away. So I want to give this surplus person a reason to write a larger check, because we are pouring into the lives of people who are in broken places. That kind of conversation can happen between somebody who's in a position to be generous and say, Pastor, maybe we can start talking about how to give ourselves away in the community so that the world sees us as giving people instead of people who tend to take. And if we can go try a couple things, I'll help fund it. I think the cooperation of that conversation is right dead on in the answer. And that's a culture of generosity, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Very, very good. All right, this is the last one, Ron. I'll flip this one to you. We've touched on it today, but Mark in Indianapolis says, what would it look like for KA members to team up in our study groups to offer services to different churches in our community? I guess what I would say is it probably starts with your local church and just letting your pastor know these resources are available and exposing the pastor to models like 12 Stone about how this works itself out in a church like that and others as examples. But what are the thoughts, Ron, that you have for a local city of Kingdom Advisors really having ministry in the local church?
Well, you know, I think it does start with your own church, and Kevin would be interested in this too. I got a call from Steve Deneff a week or so ago. Steve is a pastor of a Wesleyan church in Marion, Indiana, not nearly the size of 12 Stone. I don't know how many go there, but it's probably an average-sized church. And when I explained what we were doing at 12 Stone in terms of identifying the advisors, calling them together as a group, and then challenging them to get trained and to come alongside their pastor to be available to help in the teaching, the volunteering. He got so excited about that. So I think we have a model, Rob, and I think this is a model that we can share. The model that we're using at 12 Stone, I think will work. It'll take time to prove it, but the advisor coming alongside the church to have ministry and be of assistance to the pastor for all of the right reasons, that'll work.
Yeah. Yep.
So
that's a good word. All right. Well, we are about out of time today. We've covered a lot of ground. Pastor Kevin, it's been phenomenal to have you here. I wonder if, as we conclude today, you spoke to the incredibly leveraged role that these men and women serve in, and I'd love for you just to pray for them as they are on the front lines of having ministry in the lives of those that they serve.
My absolute honor. Heavenly Father, these sons and daughters, so gifted, so uniquely called by your hand to be in the area of financial services, are as much a part of advancing your kingdom as anyone like me in ministry. So I would ask, God, that you would cover them. In fact, I would pray a couple of things. First, I would pray, God, that since it is your desire to more mightily use them for your kingdom, if there is anything that needs to be cleaned up in their life that the evil one is using to discourage them and keep them from stepping up, I pray you give them great victory and great freedom. Great courage to address that. May they release that to you and grow through it. On the other side, God, I pray that you would give them great humility and trust in alliance with their pastor. Would you breathe vision in? Would you expand what you desire to do? And would you put a seed in their soul? Would you remind them from this conversation that the kingdom can't go forward in this critical area unless they step up? I pray there would be a boldness mixed with humility that is surprising, and pastors would begin to talk about this across the country, and there would be church after church after church rising up, and pretty soon we'd have more models than we know how to tap into, and it would revolutionize, because our country is in trouble, God. We have walked so far from your wisdom.
Amen.
So may these be the people that have the courage, the boldness, and the humility to bring it about, I pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks,
Amen.
Kevin, and see you tomorrow.
Absolute joy. Thanks, Ron. Blessings on all.
Thank you. Folks, thanks for being with us today. We're so grateful for your participation in the call. We'll be back next month with our national teleconference on the fourth Tuesday. In the meantime, may the Lord bless you. Bye-bye.